On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Good manners reflect something from inside, an innate sense of consideration of others, and respect for self. Those are words ascribed to Emily Post, the Baltimore-born author of many writings about etiquette. Even if you have not heard them, you may have heard one of these instructions: ladies first. Gentlemen stand when a woman enters the room or immediate area. Women and men stand when clergy or elders enter the immediate area. I don't know that that one has stuck around. Age before beauty. Now, I like that one. More and more. All of today's readings have to do with humility and hospitality. Some of the teachings sound like lessons in good manners, something Emily Post might have written. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. This reading from Proverbs also sounds very much like Jesus' teaching today in the gospel, as he's talked with the Pharisees at their leader's house. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. It's better to be told, "Friend, move up higher," than, "Give this person your place." Now, these instructions could also be thought of as guidelines for professional success if they stood alone. But they do not stand alone. All are presented here in the context of God's will for human behavior. You've probably heard it said that hospitality was an essential custom in ancient Israel. It was made necessary by the environment there, if nothing else. Traveling on dry, rocky terrain and in simmering heat called for householders to welcome strangers and known guests alike with a way to clean dusty feet, with scented oil to soften dry skin and reduce some of the odors of travel. There was also the offer of food, shelter, safety, and company. The responsibility to care for travelers made sense for a people who remembered their history of wandering in the wilderness. It was in this culture that Jesus grew up, traveled and taught, where he lived, moved, and had his being. He knew the culture, the customs, and the necessities behind them. The customs that Jesus addressed here had to do with privilege as well as hospitality. Sometimes privilege appears to be the opposite of humility. In Luke's gospel passage today, Jesus cautioned his fellow guests about presuming to take places of honor at the dinner the Pharisee was hosting. Our Lord also encouraged the leader to determine his guest lists in the future from a different perspective. A radically different perspective. When you give a luncheon or dinner, he said, do not invite your friends or relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But instead, invite the poor, the lame, the crippled, and the blind. They cannot repay the invitation, but such radical hospitality will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Although it is not always apparent, the Christian church put heavy emphasis on the obligation of hospitality from early in its existence. Jesus' ministry depended on the hospitality of others and on offering his own to others. We see an example of each in his acceptance of the Pharisee's invitation to share a Sabbath meal and his welcoming of marginalized people, especially in this gospel. The practice of hospitality continues to be included in the Christian ethic and is prominent in the world today, in some cases, more by its absence. I'm not talking about hospitality as guest towels in the bathroom and fine five wines and finger bowls on the table. I'm talking about treating guests we know, as well as those we do not, with the love of Jesus our Lord. Consider the vast number of our sisters and brothers seeking refuge from many countries as they try to travel to other countries. What have you read about hospitality they have been experiencing at ports and borders around the world? What about our own individual humility and hospitality? Do I presume to judge people and assign them to a lower status without even knowing them? Would I, shall I, have I offered hospitality to people without expecting to be repaid or knowing that they cannot invite me in return? Do I take a lower seat at a celebration without being asked? My answer to these in a word is sometimes. Clearly, I have much more to do to avoid neglecting to show hospitality to strangers. For in doing so, some have entertained angels unaware. And I share with you an experience I had yesterday. She was an angel. She was the angel. I simply said, "Good morning," as she was walking toward me, crossing the street. She commented on the beauty of the day, and I agreed. She asked if I loved the Lord. I smiled and said, "Yes, I do." She indicated her pleasure at hearing this, opened her arms wide, and said, "Will you?" It took me only a moment, not a minute, to step into her arms, and we shared an embrace. She wished me God's blessing, and I did the same for her. We hoped that each other would enjoy the day as we went our separate ways. Speaking only for myself, this was an experience of an angel's humility and hospitality. Humility, because she spoke of the Lord and opened her arms to me in spite of the possibility that I might think she was off her meds. Hospitality, because she welcomed me and offered her companionship, albeit briefly. In small ways such as this, and in ways that stretch further, you and I can humble ourselves, offering ourselves to the other children of God, whoever they are, wherever they are, those we know and those we do not. With the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do good. We can do even gooder. Sharing what we have and who we are. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God.